The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the third chapter, beginning with the first six verses. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from our Holy Creator and our coming Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was about 14 or 15 years old, I had stopped going to church entirely. It had become irrelevant to me. And it was about that time that my church back home, called Grace Lutheran Church, they had just gotten a new pastor. And my mom came home after they called him. My mom was on the calling committee. And she came home and she was so happy and beaming. And she said, Christopher, we got this really cool new pastor at church. He's got this fiery red hair. He's got a goatee and he has an earring. And he's young. And she thought this was it. This is what's going to bring him back. And I remember thinking, that's so stupid, a pastor with an earring. I don't buy any of it. I'm not coming back for this. And here I am, I've got holes in my ears from the plugs that I used to have, and I've got tattoos on my arms, and I hear those same moments, oh, come check out the new pastor, he has a tattoo. Oh, man. And so for years, I just avoided church, and I thought this guy was kind of a phony, to be honest. And then my mother died, and he was the person who was there. And he did such an amazing job at her funeral. And time went on, and I would bump into him occasionally, and he was always nice. But then I had this moment where he told me about grace. And I'd heard that word so much growing up, grace, but really never took the time to understand it, or maybe there was nobody there who could explain it well enough. But he talked to me about grace, about this idea that God just loves you no matter what, just as you are, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what kind of mistakes perhaps you have made, no matter what kind of a person you felt about yourself, which is a big one, right? God just loves you. And not just you, but the entire world, like every single person. And I began to think, maybe this guy's not such a phony. This guy is speaking to me in a way that I can hear. And then he started talking to me about Martin Luther and gave me a book to read about Martin Luther and Martin Luther's experience with grace and Martin Luther's own calling of grace and desire to share that with the world. And all of these light bulbs started kind of clicking on. And faith wasn't just simply this thing of my parents. And it wasn't this thing of just morality and the moral police. But it became an encounter that I could relate with. It was something that met me where I was at. Something I could experience and know that I was loved and here. And so then I started going back to church. And this very same guy one day just said, you know, I think you should preach sometime. You know, I'll help you out. But just preach at church sometime. And I love to talk. So I did. And it was a terrible sermon. I think I used a clip of Seinfeld or something. It was really bad. But it felt good. And so I got more and more involved in church, and then after some time he said, you know, I think God's calling you to be a pastor. And I said, over my dead body will I ever be a pastor? That's never going to happen. And he said, all right, that's fine, you know. And time went on, and some things happened, and finally I said to him, you know, I'm feeling this weird feeling inside. I want to be a big part of this community of church. And he said, you know, I think that's the Spirit talking to you, and I think you're being called to be a pastor. And so I finally said, all right, I'll do it, and just packed up my stuff after applying for seminary and left. And here's the thing. If it wasn't for this guy, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be your pastor. I wouldn't know any of you. I wouldn't know your stories. I wouldn't have this crazy love that I have for all of you because of this one guy. If it wasn't for him, I would have gone on a completely different path. And that's just so amazing to me. He was the one who prepared the way for me. We hear about John today, and John's always this fire and brimstone kind of guy in our minds. But, you know, John was there to prepare the way for everybody else around him for Jesus. And that's exactly what this guy did for me. He prepared the way for me and opened my eyes to all of these encounters of God that were around me. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful thing. He was my John the Baptist. Last week, I talked a lot about what Advent is. Advent is this time of preparation and then change, preparing for the indwelling of God, preparing for the coming of Christ, the Christ that came to us 2,000 years ago, the Christ that is promised to us sometime in the future, the Christ that is continually coming into our lives right here in these present moments. And when we encounter all of those, it changes us. Advent is about preparation and change. And last Sunday I talked about the big change, the one that God promises that God will change the entire world, everything, a huge, huge change. And then I said, each Sunday after this, it's going to get a little bit more localized into our personal experiences. And we start that today as we read the first texts of John the Baptist. And all we hear about is this guy who's going to prepare the way for the rest of the world. And so I want to spend the next two Sundays talking about call and response. And I want you to remember those two words, call and response. Those are important words. And I'll tell you why. If you were like me, you grew up thinking that the church and God was always about your action first. It was always about what you were going to do and then how God was going to respond to you. It was always about you needing to believe, you needing to give, you needing to go out and act a certain way. And then if you do that, then God is there. And that's wrong. Call and response is about God coming to you first, and then your response to that. It is never about your action to attain God's love and grace. It is always about God's action of love and grace towards you, and then how you respond to that. And for a long time, the church has gotten this backwards. We've said that it was the other direction, but it's not. It's all about first call and then response. And so I want to spend a little bit of time today talking about this calling part, because I don't think I talk about this enough, and it's a big one. And we hear that word, calling, and we think typically it has something to do with vocation, this job that we are being called into, this task that we are being called into, this talent that we are being called into, this thing that God has illuminated for us to show us our pathway in this life and how we are going to be God's hands and feet in this world. And that's a very good definition of calling, but it's only one. And if I were going to define what a calling is, to experience this calling, I would say that it's any experience that we have of this greater truth. And that comes in so many different ways. A calling is something that exists outside of you. It's not in here, but it's something that exists outside and then it happens to you. And it could be from a person like John the Baptist or like this pastor of mine. Or it could be from an experience that you have. Or it could be from simply looking out onto a sunset. I mean, there's so many ways it happens, but it's something that exists outside of you, and then it happens to you, and it changes you. If I had to describe it best, it's what I already said. It's a calling is when you experience, I mean, truly experience God's movement towards you. Now think about that for a second. The idea that God, in all of God's power and grace, that God is not just simply waiting around for you to show your worth, but that God is just continually moving towards you. Like I said, we grew up with this idea that we're the ones that have to choose God. We're the ones that have to move towards God all the time. But really, it's God who's moving towards us. These movements, they happen all around us. But that's the best way I could think of to describe what this calling experience is. It is those moments when you really feel it, that God moves towards you. God chooses you. God sees so much worth and love in you that God moves towards you. Is there anything in this world that would prevent you from going to someone you just love so deeply? We experience this in our lives all the time with family members, with children, with loved ones. We move towards that which we love, and God loves us so much that God is continually moving towards us, coming to us. And when you experience that, that is that moment of calling. This moment that absolutely changes you. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. Christmas is not just simply celebrating that Jesus came into the world. It's not celebrating that Jesus was born, and we need to highlight to the whole world that we believe that Jesus exists and that this story is real. What it's about is that this was the big moment when God moved towards humanity. For thousands of years, Jewish people believed that they had to move towards God. They had to go to that temple location, and they had to sacrifice for their sins, and it was always them going towards God. And then we have this Christmas story in the midst of these Jewish people, and that's what it was all about. It was that God was leaving that temple, and God was moving towards humanity. God was going to make the very first move and come to us. That is that calling experience, and that is what Christmas is all about, and that's what Advent is all about, is to prepare for that movement towards us, that insane amount of love. And that's a big way to describe it, but there's all of these personal experiences we have, too, in our lives. And this is really hard for me to talk about because it's so unique to each and every one of us. We experience it in a plethora of different ways. And I bet each of you has these incredible stories about how you have experienced God's movement towards you. I remember one time getting in trouble at school. I was acting out because my parents were getting divorced, and I was just really upset. And they called my mom. I think I've told this story before. They called my mom, and she came to the office, and I remember thinking, I'm in so much trouble. And the first thing she did when she got there was she hugged me. That was a calling moment for me. That was a moment of experiencing God's movement towards me through my mother. I remember another time snowboarding out in Idaho, and it was just a crazy day of snowboarding, and I pulled over on the side of a mountain. It was after they were closing the park down, and I looked over this valley that seemed to just stretch on for miles, and there was nobody else around, and I could hear the sound that silence makes. And just watch as snow was slowly drifting onto the ground. And in that moment of silence, and in that moment of looking at untouched creation, just knowing that God was right there with me, knowing that I had never experienced God's presence more than in that incredible space. And I could talk about experiences of my own forever on this topic. But more importantly, it's about your experiences of calling. Typically, when we talk about John the Baptist and this text from Isaiah of preparing the way, it's always pastors saying how you're going to prepare the way for other people. But instead, I want you today to think about how the way has been prepared for you. I want you to think about all of these unique experiences that you've had in your life that have opened you to greater love, that have opened you to knowing you have worth, that you're a child of God, not because of anything that you've done, but simply because you are. And I can't describe it for you. I can only hope that you can recall into your mind what those moments have been in your life. That's calling. That is God's movement towards you. Faith, and I want you to remember this too. Faith is not about dogma. It's not about theology. It's not even about which God you believe in. Faith is this continuous cycle of call and response. It is a continual cycle about all of the different ways and times in your life that you experience that calling, and then your response to it. And so here's the thing I want you to take away with today. If you aren't feeling that call right now, if you aren't feeling God's movement towards you, if you aren't feeling this endless supply of love and grace, if you aren't feeling how loved you are, how much worth you have, then I don't want you to do anything else but try to find that experience. I don't want you to worry about the response. I don't want you to worry about what you need to do for church. I don't want you to worry about what you need to do for God. I don't want you to worry about having right beliefs or wrong beliefs. I want you to just simply focus on how loved you are, how much God loves you. And I want you to just rest in that. And if you don't have it right now, then take as much time as you need to find it. Because faith is this cycle of call and then response. And if you need some convincing, I want you to know this. The only reason I'm here as your pastor is because I have felt this love in my life. And my response to it was to come here and be with all of you. And I am daily reminded of that calling experience because of how much I love you and because of how much you love me back. And I've looked at every single one of you today, okay? And I mean that. I want you to know that. I've looked at every single one of you today. And I love you. I do. I just love you. And it's not because of anything you've done for me. But it's because you are this beautiful light of God shining in this world. And that worth that you have is there simply because you are. And I want you to just rest in that love. As you go from here today, don't worry about the response. Don't worry about what you need to do as a member of Bethania. I want you to just know that you're loved and just rest in it for a while. If we can start with how much God loves us, then this Christmas story becomes a story of how God loves us. Amen. Please stand as you are able.